So I was planning to be here today anyway, because it's been a while since I've been here, and I miss Christ the King, and I miss all of you good people. So I was planning to be here today. But then yesterday afternoon about 4:30, Father Ed called me up and said that Jan had started to feel the beginnings of a cold and beginnings of a low-grade fever. And so she went to get tested, but it will be several days before she finds out, but that in an abundance of caution, it would be better for them not to be here today. So I'm here with you this morning to celebrate this Mass with you. In Matthew, it says, "The bridegroom came, and the maidens who were ready, went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other maidens came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.'" What terrible words those must have been to hear by those maidens shut out of that wedding feast. "I do not know you. You can't come in." Friends, we need to be ready. The parable of the 10 maidens emphasizes the need that we have as disciples of Jesus Christ to be ready. Ready, always ready to launch out into the deep. Jesus calls us to launch out into the deep at any time and at any moment, day or night. And we need to be ready to do it. We need to be prepared. Now, the storyline of the parable centers on a Jewish wedding custom. And the wedding custom was that an important part of the ceremony was the procession from the home of the bride's parents to the groom's home. So this is like the official moving out of the father's house into the husband's house to become one flesh and begin a family. And as the bridegroom escorted his bride to her new home, and what it's not like this, it's not like they were married yet, and we're going to go on a honeymoon. This is going to be a week of festivities, a week of celebration, a week of feasting. We read about it in the wedding of Cana in John. But as the bridegroom escorted his bride to their new home, the pathways, because it was evening, the pathways were lighted by the bridesmaids holding lanterns. So that was a really important job. And those bridesmaids had to be ready, and they had to have their lanterns. It was part of the whole tradition. Now, in the parable, there's 10 bridesmaids, and 5 are called wise and 5 are called foolish. And the wise ones and the foolish ones are different on only one point. Only one point. Now, many commentators say that this is a parable because it's in a context of watchfulness, that this is a parable about watchfulness. But it's not about watchfulness, because we see that all 10 bridesmaids fell asleep. So it's not about watchfulness. It's about the difference that between the wise and the foolish bridesmaids is that the wise ones had the foresight to bring extra oil. See, both of them had oil in their lamps, but it took foresight to bring extra oil just in case. And it was that difference, in their thinking between good enough versus just in case that made the difference between the wise and the foolish. And being shut out, going to the wedding ceremony or being shut out of the wedding ceremony and hearing those terrible words of Jesus, "Truly, I do not know you." Oil in the lamp. Oil is a metaphor. It's a long traditional metaphor and symbol of spirit. We anoint with oil, but we pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon the person. Oil in the lamp is a metaphor for spiritual maturity, for having tanked up, so to speak, filled your tanks with the Holy Spirit through a rich and developed spiritual life, through practicing the disciplines of the church, through daily prayer, morning and evening prayer, through prayer and fasting, through praying of the Psalms, through taking the sacraments. Having oil in your lamp is a metaphor for spiritual maturity. And as followers of Jesus, it's important for us to be like the wise bridesmaids with our tanks as full as they can be, just in case. Because I think, and I think this call to be ready at all times is particularly important for us today, because we live in very strange times. And things are happening. It's almost like you wake up and you feel like you're in a parallel universe, that it looks like the same world you were in last year, but it's not. Almost everything in our culture today is antagonistic to Catholic values. Popular culture teaches that emotion is more important than reason, that happiness is a right, not a blessing, and that freedom means we can define our own reality any way we want to, even if that defies biology. None of these popular notions is consistent with truth, with natural law, or with Catholic teaching. Yet, any disagreement from this narrative is punishable by the PC police, the new Red Guard, the cancel culture. And that puts every faithful Catholic at odds with popular culture. It's part of being Catholic in 2020. Meanwhile, explicit opposition to the Catholic Church is increasing and becoming vocal and almost frightening. Wouldn't it be great if we could just raise our kids, pursue our careers, and be left alone? Like how it used to be. Yes, that would be great. Remember those days? But I don't think it's an option today. The last 4 years have shown us, if they've shown us anything, it's that storm clouds are on the horizon for Catholics. Leon Trotsky famously said, "Maybe you are not interested in war, but war is interested in you." And that's the sad fact today. As Catholics, we need to realize that war is upon us. And it's not a military war. Don't misunderstand me. Nobody's talking about that. That's terrible, and there's nothing but destruction that comes from that. But it certainly is a cultural and a spiritual war. We are up against vocally, overtly Marxist globalist forces that hate God and would destroy the church. And they're powerful forces. And they seem to be somehow capable of orchestrating everything. Like how weird that felt to us back in March. Do you remember back in March when we were told 15-day lockdown in order so that the emergency rooms don't get overwhelmed. So let's lock down for 15 days, 2 weeks. And then suddenly, it's like coordinated worldwide. Suddenly, it's like we're in like day 220 of that 15-day lockdown. It's strange. We're in strange times. And the battleground is and is going to be religious freedom, the right to life, and the traditional family. Because those are the areas particularly precious and particularly important in the Catholic Church, because those are the areas in which we cooperate most closely with God in producing new souls, right? It's in family, it's in our sexuality, and it's in our religious freedom that we create new souls for God and for the world and raise them up with our values. And that's what's under attack. So, what can we do to get ready? How do we put oil in our lamps, so to speak? First of all, we need to be on our faces in fasting and prayer. Fasting is the Christian secret weapon. Fasting, we build our spirit over our flesh, and that allows us to launch into the deep and have oil in our lamp. And we need to pound heaven like the psalmist did on our faces. How long, O Lord, how long will you forsake us forever? 7 days, seven times a day, I pray, how long, O Lord? All of us need to be on our faces in prayer every day. Special prayers. Prayers for the protection of the church. Prayers for our priests. Prayers for our families. That's the first thing, fasting and prayer on our faces. Secondly, we need to stand firm and uphold the teachings of the church, to speak God's truth without backing down. Father Ed's sermon from October 11 is a great example of that. It went viral. 5 million hits. Because everything he said in it is true. It's true, and Catholics around the world, 5 million of them, are hungry to hear it. And he's paid a price for his honesty and his integrity in terms of pushback, in terms of criticism, in terms of calumny and slander of a good man, of a faithful man. But he's showing us the way. He's showing us how to do it. One thing I love about Father Ed is he does not back down. And he's committed to truth. And he will not back down. And he's showing us the way forward at this moment in church history. We must stand firm. We must uphold the teachings of the church. As the Bishop of the Ordinariate, Bishop Lopes, says over and over again, what you say in times like this is, remember, the scriptures have not changed. The catechism has not changed. The teachings of the fathers have not changed. The deposit of faith handed on by the apostles to the bishops through the millennia has not changed, no matter what people think or say or trying to get us to believe. It has not changed. We need to know them. We need to uphold them. Third, we need to continue to support and protect traditional Catholic families. Catholic family, St. John Paul II, Catholic family is the domestic church. It is, it's been throughout the tradition of the church, the family has been recognized as the foundation block of our very society. Because that's, like I said before, that's where new souls come into the world. That's where they're taught the faith. That's where they're shown what love means. And that's where they're launched out into the world. We need to protect that. Make no mistake, it's under attack. We need to stay close to the sacraments. We and our families, close to the sacraments, especially the Eucharist and the sacrament of reconciliation. Jesus gave us the sacraments for our salvation. And you know what I also appreciate about the Catholic Church since my conversion is that it recognizes that marriage is a sacrament. Marriage is given to us as an outward and visible sign for our salvation. So view it that way. View our marriages as a place of grace and salvation. It's so important. And finally, we need to organize. The degradation of culture in our land, in the United States, has been going on my entire lifetime. And it was going on before that. You know, I'm old enough to remember the heyday of the sexual revolution and, you know, limitless, you know, the smashing of sexual boundaries and how that was held up as something of great promise. And it's actually turned into something of great heartbreak and destruction. That's been going on. The people on the other side who would destroy the church have been patiently at work for decades and decades and generations. Didn't Our Lady of Fatima say that if Russia was not consecrated to Our Lady, the error of Russia would spread throughout the world? And it has. It has. So what do we need to do? We need to work forward with the long game. The long game. We need to organize, build networks with people who share our values, and actively reclaim our culture. Build it back block by block by block, patiently, through decades, through generations, but stubbornly. We need to push back. We are losing our country because while we raise our families and earn our livings, the people who hate God and would destroy the church do little else but plot and scheme. Sister Lucia, in a letter to the late Cardinal Caffaro, once wrote, "Father, a time will come when the decisive battle between the kingdom of Christ and Satan will be over marriage and family. And those who will work for the good of the family will experience persecution and tribulation. But do not be afraid, because Our Lady has already crushed Satan's head." And shortly before his death in 2017, Cardinal Caffaro said he believed the decisive battle has begun. In 2020, I've become convinced he's right. So, brothers and sisters, we need to be ready. We need to fill our lamps with extra oil. It's not enough just to have your lamp full. You've got to have backup, just in case. We need to remember that behind the political battle is a supernatural battle that's waged with spiritual weapons. The fate of our souls and the souls of everyone we love are at stake. So in conclusion, I just want to say one more thing, which is that I once heard Catholic apologist Steve Ray say, "Parents, raise your kids to be martyrs. Not because we want them to die, but because we want them to understand that some things are worth dying for. Our faith is worth dying for. Jesus is worth dying for." And that's been demonstrated again and again and again for 2,000 years by a long list of saints and martyrs. In many parts of the world, Christians are literally dying for their faith. It's not true yet in the United States. Yet. But don't think it can't happen here. Something that's very sobering to me is every time I think about the Cristeros War in Mexico. That happened in the 1920s and 30s, and it happened in a Catholic country, a neighbor of ours, in just south of our border, and Catholics were the culture switched, and Catholics became the enemy, and they were slaughtered. Read the story. It's a terrible story. In the decades before that, they thought this couldn't happen here, but it did. Already in our country, Christians are subject to ridicule, to shame, to ostracism, and in some cases, loss of job. And it can only get worse. So we need to step up our discipleship. We need to be 100% Catholic all of the time. We need to be hardcore Catholics. We need to be Catholics every moment, not just when we're here and then we go off and we, you know, crack a beer and watch the game. We need to be hardcore Catholics all the time because we need to be ready. We need our tanks full. In times like ours, following Jesus has a cost, and all of us need to begin preparing ourselves spiritually and mentally to pay that cost. Remember, God put each one of us on this earth at this time to battle for his faith. And we need to be ready.